the title of the message today is Desiring Maturity. Desiring Maturity. So I told you, we're going to talk about the parable of the weeds, but that's going to come way later on because I really feel that it is really important to understand something before we actually get into that parable. And what we're going to talk about first is the stages of sonship. The four stages of sonship. The four stages that I have. There's actually a few more, but these are the four main ones of sonship. The four levels of being a son in Christ Jesus. Okay. The first level, and I'm going to qualify all of these with verses, okay? Because I want you to know that this is not coming from me. This is directly from the Word of God. So as I'm saying all of this, I want you to listen and kind of figure out where you're at, okay? What level of sonship are you at? Where are you at in the developmental stages of your life with the Lord, okay? Number one, the first one is the napios stage. This is like a newborn child, okay? The Strong's Concordance defines it as an infant or a simple-minded person. Someone who is easily influenced by teaching and schemes of men because they have not exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. So I look at this and I see, you know, my son Ezra. He would be like the napios. He knows we're his parents, but he likes to go with other people sometimes too, and he sometimes prefers Elijah over dad. I don't know why, but that's okay. I love it. So there's just this level of knowing a little bit, but not enough. Okay. Ephesians 4:13 through 14 says this: until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants. That word infants right there is actually napios, okay? Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people and their deceitful scheming, okay? So napios, and my pronunciation is probably way off, but we're gonna run with it. Napios is someone who is easily tossed back and forth by the waves, someone who is blown here and there by the wind and by the teaching. Maybe they've heard the word, but yet they aren't firmly grounded in it just yet. So that's the first stage, napios. I'm not going to ask you if you're there, but you can figure that out as we move on. The second stage is paideion. Strong's Concordance says it's a half-grown boy or girl, an immature Christian. Believers who are at this stage of paideion have learned humility. Matthew 18:4 says, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little paideion is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven and have begun to know the Father intimately. This is stage two. This is where you're beginning to know the Father intimately. Okay? John, 1 John 2:14 goes on to clarify that. It says, I write to you, dear paideion. Understand that those words are actually these words that I'm giving you, paideion. I write to you, dear paideion, because you know the Father. They have begun to know the Father. They have learned to also imitate their Father. Okay? Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. I do not have the reference for that one, but that is a scripture. We'll find it later. Somebody can find it. That'd be great. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. And then John 21:5 says Jesus actually called his disciples at one point paideons, the second stage of development. You would think that the disciples were, you know, way up there, but the disciples were just learning, like you and I. But he actually goes and calls them out. He called out, fellows, paideion, have you caught any fish? Now, when I read this, I think maybe Jesus was joking with them. He's like, hey, guys, what's up, man? Have you caught any fish? Well, guess what? I can help you. You know, maybe he's saying he's superior. He can do a whole lot more than them. So that may have been a joke. We don't know. But it's also just kind of saying, hey, you know, you guys are still growing. You guys are still learning. You're still trying to be growing your intimacy with me. Okay, that's paideion. The third level is technon. This is described as a child, as produced. Believers who are at this stage abide in Christ. To abide means to remain or dwell. This is a good stage. These are all great. But this one means you remain or dwell in Christ. 1 John 2:28 says this, "And now, little children, abide in him." Again, that little children is now technon. So I'm not just picking scriptures here and there and trying to fill the gap. No, these are the actual words for these scriptures. These are the actual stages of what Jesus is saying here, or in this case, what is being said here. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So in this stage, they have a legitimate relationship with God. They understand forgiveness. They overcome sin and practices, and they practice righteousness. They walk closely to the doctrine and ways of his or her spiritual father in the Lord. Now, that's a really, really good stage. Some of you may be right there right now. Some of you may identify with that stage, and, you know, that's where I'm at. But there's still more. There's still one other stage that we're going to talk about today. And that one is the... Actually, before we even go there, Paul says it in Galatians 4:19. "Oh, my dear children, technon, oh, my dear technon." You see, Paul even recognizes the next stage of growing. He says, "Oh, my dear technon, I feel as if I'm going through the labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." Amen? Did you hear that? There's still more. There's still more growth. The final stage, or the next stage, is weos. Huios, however you say it. We're going to go with weos. And that means it's an immediate, a remote, or a figurative kinship. It's a mature son. Okay, it's a mature son. These believers are peacemakers. Now, listen to that. This is like really key to this weos stage. These believers are peacemakers. What does that mean? That means when there's confrontation, you're trying to create peace. You're not egging it on. You're not fighting the battle. You're trying to create peace. That can be very difficult for some people. Because we like our point of views, you know, and we're hard to sway from our point of views. But, you know, these are the peacemakers. So are you a weos? we had one yes. These believers are peacemakers. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the weos of God." The peacemakers are the weos of God. These believers, another hard thing, they love their enemies, and they pray for those that persecute them. How many of you love your enemies? How many of you pray for those that persecute you? Amen. Matthew 5:44-45a says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children," or weos, "of your Father in heaven." That's good stuff. That's really good stuff there. The next thing is these believers are perfect or mature. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And the last thing to weos is that they are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are weos of God." How many of you are led by the Spirit of God? Say, "I'm led by the Spirit of God." Only if you truly are. Say, "I'm led by the Spirit of God." Amen. We got a lot of weos in here. Amen. So we are called to grow. Guys, we're not called to simply, I actually did a preaching on this, I don't know when, but it was titled, I think it was titled Called to Greatness or something. But we're not simply called to occupy a seat here, okay? We're not called to just sit around and do nothing in the kingdom of God. We're not called just to be saved and say that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm good. I've got nothing else that I got to do because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. We're not called to stand around and just claim that, you know, all day long. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. But there's so much more to your walk with Jesus than just standing around and claiming that. Amen? Ephesians 4:15 says, instead speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And then I found this verse, this quote online from Mary Kenuthia. I don't know who she is, but I just really like what she says. She says, God desires that children in the kingdom grow and become mature sons, weos, who operates in his inheritance. This inheritance is his very nature that we received the moment we came into his new life as nepios, or as babies. Weos operating in this inheritance display God's very nature, which is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, acquired by dying daily to the flesh. So weos have a high calling. Weos are used by God. And we'll see that in the parable. So I use these stages of development. Did I say them? I did not. So weos would be like the adults, like the mature adults, okay? Whereas the nepios would be the newborn child, and then we have the paedion would be kind of like an adolescent, and the technons would be the young adults. If we were to kind of compare them to these worldly characteristics of the developmental stages. But I say that very, very loosely because we can have some old adults in here, some mature adults that are still nepios, that are still babies. We can have some teenagers that are weos, you know? So it doesn't matter how old you are. It matters in your relationship with the Lord. So the closer you are to the Lord, the more mature you are in your stage of development with the Lord. So my encouragement is just to continue to grow. Don't stop growing because there's always more. Even after weos, there's another one called, it starts with a P, it's like parent, but it's like being the father, okay? It's the one who teaches, the one who encourages. But even in that, you're still learning. You're still trying to get closer to the Lord. You're never going to stop growing. Because the moment you stop growing is the moment you die. You know, you're never going to stop growing. You always want to strive for more in your life. Amen? There's so much more than just occupying a seat. And I don't know if that resonates with anybody here, but you're called to more than just to sit down there on a Sunday. I'm a pastor, so I've got to encourage you guys to do more. I'm not going to say it's okay to be where you're at. You know, I wouldn't be doing my job. You've got to continue to grow. You have to continue to strive for more. Get off the seat and do something. Amen? You know, there's plenty of areas where you can serve in ministry, plenty of areas that need to be filled in ministry. Plenty of things for you to do in this church and Freedom Church. You have to seek that opportunity to go out there and do it. Don't be complacent. I hate that word. I hate that word, but I speak about it so much because I feel like a lot of Americans are very, very complacent. They're okay with where they're at. You know, but we go to El Salvador on a mission trip, and I didn't see any complacency. I saw these little kids striving for more. And these little kids are playing in the dirt. You know, this is what they have. They don't have the toys that we have, but they want more. They're hungry for more. But here in America, we got it all. You know, we want something, we go get it. We call Uber or DoorDash, and they come right to our door and give us what we want. You know, we don't have to wait for anything. And that's just, complacency is of the enemy. It's of Satan. And we need to break that in Jesus' name. Amen? So if that's you, You know, this, you're probably feeling it right now in your heart if you feel that you're the complacent one. I can't do anything for you, but you got to give it to the Lord. Go to God. Go to God. Let him break that complacency for you. Amen? All right. Okay. The parable of the weeds. So what in the world does all that have to do with the parable of the weeds? Let's see. I'm going to sum up the parable of the weeds, and then I'm going to give, let me just read it. But the key part is just the explanation that Jesus gives. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. It says, Jesus presented another parable to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and left. And when the wheat sprouted and produced grain, the weeds also became evident. And the slaves of the landowner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? Naturally, as a landscaper, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and gather up all these weeds. I'm going to go pluck them because my clients aren't going to be happy if they see the weeds on the ground. So I've got to do something. I got to mow them over. I got to spray Roundup. Or I got to pull them. But here's what he says. He says, then do you want us to go and gather them up? He said, no. While you are gathering up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the weeds and then bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. So, did you guys hear that? The exact opposite. How many of you guys leave weeds in your landscaping, in your garden? That's good. That's good. That's really good. I don't either. Well, actually, if you go to I'm a landscaper, so yeah, you'll probably find weeds in my house. you want to pull the weeds. You want to get them out of the good stuff that you have in the ground. You want to remove them from the plants and from the flowers that you're producing. You don't want them to choke it up. But he says, no, leave them. Leave them because they can uproot the wheat. They can uproot the good stuff. So here's Jesus' explanation, because the disciples, they're not weos, okay? These disciples were still, probably nepios or technons. They're probably technons at this stage. So they're asking God, what does that mean? You know, these are God's disciples, and they're asking, what are you talking about, Lord? Can you clarify that for me? I just find that funny. Men who are, or teenagers, men who are walking with the Lord are questioning him, but that's good. It's good because they're asking questions and they want clarity on what the Lord really wants for them. So that was just a little side note. Matthew 13, 37 through 43 is Jesus' explanation. And it says this. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of age. And the reapers are angels. So just as the weeds are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The one who has ears, let him hear. You guys are probably like, what is he talking about? How does this connect? Let me show you how it connects. So Jesus was saying here that let me say this. It's important to know the levels of sonship for this parable, because the Son of Man did not just sow any type of seed. See, the Son of Man did not sow nepios. He didn't sow pahedion. He didn't even sow technon. He didn't sow any of those seeds into the field. Remember those stages? We have the baby, we have the adolescent, we have the immature, the young adult. He didn't sow any of those seed into the field. What he sowed was the weos. It says here on 38, as for the good seed, these are the sons. Look it up. That word sons is weos. These are the weos of the kingdom. That's the seed that he's sowing. The weos of the kingdom, the mature person, the mature adult. That when I put all this together, when he gave me all this, that just blew my mind. Because naturally we think God is going to sow any type of seed. God is going to put us anywhere we can be a light in this world. But the Lord knew what he was doing. And why did he sow the weos instead of the technons? Here's why. Because the enemy also sowed his seed. The enemy seed, look it up. It says here in 38, the weeds are the sons of the evil one. That word sons is also weos. So the enemy sowed his strongest children into that field. He didn't sow napios. He didn't sow pahedions. He didn't sow technons. He sowed his strongest kids into that field so they can uproot the children of God. And that's what we see in this world. We see the enemy. We see people walking out there. They look exactly like us. They look exactly like the children of God. In fact, the wheat here, the weeds are actually darnel. And darnel actually looks just like the wheat that was sown back then. You can only distinguish a darnel from the wheat once it sprouts. So if you uproot that darnel, you may be uprooting the wheat. You get where I'm going here? Okay, so the enemy sows his strongest people into this field. If God were to sow his weakest people, we would be devoured by the enemy. But God knew what the enemy was going to do. And he placed his strongest people in this field so that way they won't be swayed by the enemy. That's good stuff. Amen? Can you imagine that? I mean, imagine. If we're all nepios, God is sowing all these nepios, all these babies into this field. And here comes the enemy and just uproots all of us. We wouldn't stand a chance because we're not firmly rooted in Christ Jesus. They would have easily choked the seeds of God's children. Yeah, God wants to sow each and every one of you into the battlefield, into the mission field. But he needs to know that you're ready. He needs to know that you guys are weos. Because what's out there is rough. What's out there is strong. How are you going to battle it? When you reach the level of weos sonship, here's just an amazing visual that he gave me. When you reach the level of the weos sonship, you can get right next to the enemy. Walk alongside of the enemy. And have absolutely no fear. No fear whatsoever. Because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, you have absolute confidence in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants for us. That's where he wants us to be in this world. He wants us to be weos. Because he wants us to confront the enemy and say, you're gone. No more. He wants us to take care of the enemy. The enemy cannot uproot weos, the weos of God. They stand no chance. Amen? So here's the thing. If you deal with fear, if you deal with depression or maybe low self-esteem, then you need to grow. Again, I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you to grow. So you got to see where you're at, because weos don't deal with any of that stuff. Weos don't deal with fear. They don't deal with depression because they know who they are in Christ Jesus. Now, that may change some things for a lot of you. And a lot of you may have been like, well, I guess I'm not a weos. Does that resonate with anybody here? Is that a little hard to hear? Let's just think about it. Think about it, because if we are weos, we don't have any issues. We don't have any worries. Because we know that God is stronger, God can provide, God can take care of everything in our lives. Now, 40, verse 43 says this. And I want to shine forth. I want to shine forth like the sun in God's kingdom. So why would we even want to be wheels? Why would we want to be sown in this field, in this mission field? Why would we want God to use us? Well, because it says that our shine, our light will shine forth like the sun in God's kingdom. The light of the wheels will shine forth like the sun in God's kingdom. So there's the why. I mean, do you really, really want this? Do you really want to be used by God? Do you really want your light to shine forth in God's kingdom? I do. I don't know about you guys. I cannot speak for anybody here, but I know that everybody here has a plan. Everybody here has a purpose. And I know that this isn't enough. I know that where you're at isn't enough. There's always room to grow. So whatever stage of development you're at, I want you to continue to seek that growth. Amen? Don't be okay with where you're at. It's not good. Don't be okay with where you're at. Seek growth. Try to be the wheels of the Lord. I know for me, when I've told this story before of Noah, of my son Noah, when he was born, he was, quick summation, he was born with a disease that really didn't give him a very long lifespan. But he was born with lesions throughout his whole body. And they said, basically they had to cover him in gauze, kind of like a mummy. And we weren't able to touch him. We weren't able to hug him, you know, for a little bit of time. But I had my Wios moment in that hospital room. I really did. And I remember, it was like the Lord was asking me, if Noah dies, are you still going to love me? If I take him away, are you still going to love me? That was a hard moment for me. But I remember said, yes, Lord, I would. I would still love you. And that was my Wios moment. See, I think we can move back and forth through these stages, from Wios to Technon to whatever. I think we can go back and forth in these stages depending on what's going on in your life. But, you know, that was my Wios moment. Am I going to trust the Lord through the hardest times in my life? Am I going to give him everything through the hardest moments in my life? Ask yourself that. Are you going to trust God during your sickness? Are you going to trust him during your loved one's disobedience? Are you going to love him when he takes a loved one away? Are you? That can be your Wios moment. It's hard, but I found out that there's nothing greater than following the Lord through every single situation in your life. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm always a Wios. But I know that I can trust him through everything. You know, even when I didn't have any money, when it was really tough, I can trust him through anything. And he's gotten me through every single situation in my life. So, yeah, where are you at right now? Are you ready to be sown in that field? Do you need a little bit more growth before you get sown into the field to fight with the enemy? Another thing I kind of wanted to point out here, this parable of the weeds also spoke to me as a mission field, as an opportunity to evangelize, as an opportunity to minister to the lost. And I was looking at this, and you know, why would God sow us right next to the enemy, knowing that the enemy was going to sow his seed? But again, he sowed his strongest children next to the enemy's strongest children. And I saw that as an opportunity to go out there and spread the gospel to the lost. You know, maybe there's an opportunity there to change the hearts of the strongest children of the enemy. Maybe you know somebody at work. Maybe you are surrounded by people at your work who are just swearing and cursing and just doing bad things all day long. But you remain there as the Wios. Maybe this is your opportunity to shine. Maybe this is your opportunity to evangelize to them, to speak to them, to bring them closer to Jesus. I see a lot of these wheels as examples of what we should be, of how we need to treat everybody. The other thing about this verse is that we it says later on in here that his angels are the reapers, that his angels are the ones that would gather the grain. It's not our job. It's not our job to judge others. It's not our job to say that, well, he's an enemy or he's a child of Satan. That's not our job. He's very clear in saying that it's the job of the angels. But he leaves them here for us to talk to them for a little bit. And at the very end of the age, he will gather them up, those who remain. Amen? So I urge you guys to break your complacency, if that's where you're at. Break your complacency. You know, don't be okay with your current situation. Don't be okay with simply occupying a seat. Don't be okay with just coming here on Sunday to get filled for the rest of the week. That may be hard for some of you to hear, but there's so much more to this walk with Christ than simply being present, than simply just saying, he is my Savior. There's so much more. You have to have that desire to grow. Some of you may be going through some really, really hard times right now. And you're asking yourself, well, how can I grow during this tough situation? Well, I gave you an example of my son almost dying. And it was my Weos moment. I'm not minimizing your situation, but I'm saying if I can do it, then I think anybody can do it. So grow. Some of you may need a breakthrough to understand how to grow. Some of you may need to hear a testimony. I don't know. Whatever it is, you need to get it, but you may need that breakthrough in order to grow. Search for it. Don't just wait for the Lord to give it to you. He can do that, but he also wants to see that you're active and looking. Amen.